probably most of you know, or maybe you didn't know, maybe I haven't shared, but I used to teach. And what I really enjoyed, when I did my student teaching, I did it in first grade. And there's something about kids that young that they cannot contain good news. I mean, it vibrates in their very being until it pours out each part of their body. I remember one day this little boy came in and he was literally bouncing like this, and I'm going to lose my mic. But he was bouncing so much, there was no way I was going to teach anything until I allowed him to share. And so I said, Billy, what's up? And he said, we got a new puppy. And then he proceeded to race all the way around the classroom three times, yelling the puppy's name over and over and over and over. And guess what? Today when it was licking me, it bit me. Just good news could be contained in this little guy. Then another time, a little girl came in, and little Monique, she was bouncing up and down again. Just literally, if you set her still, if you held on to her feet, she would just start vibrating. And out of her mouth, I'm going to be a big sister. Mommy's pregnant. I don't know how that happened. I was like, well, I ain't telling you either. But she just was so excited. And that good news just couldn't be contained. As I think about that, and as I look at our story in Luke chapter 2, and we're going to spend most of our time there. Not that I'm going to ignore, well, yeah, I'm mostly going to ignore Isaiah, sorry. As I look at that, I see the shepherd's reaction to good news. And there's, I really do believe this. They can be an illustrative instruction for us on the reaction to God moving with good news of joy. As we do so, I'm just going to pull out what I see are four reactions for these shepherds. But always what we want to be taking a look at is what God is doing and not just the shepherd's reaction. Because people, we react to a lot of things. I think they react appropriately in each of these cases. But it's what God does that has eternal significance. So, here we go. First, in Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 8, we're going to see this. We're going to see a reaction that goes from fear to joy. Fear to joy, our first reaction. In verse 8, in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. Oh, those guys, shepherds. I think I probably just described them. They're over at my camp. No! Here's the thing about these shepherds. They were probably tending the sheep that would ultimately, where the lambs would be taken from and used as sacrificial lambs in the temple. Pretty heavy privilege. And yet, they were shepherds. Now, shepherds, you remember David was a shepherd? He ain't one of them. Shepherds over time, from David's time till this point, have gained quite a reputation. as rascals. This is one author puts it this way. Their reputation was earned because they often confused these two words, mine and thine. They had this great way of appropriating your things as their things wherever they went. It was so bad, by the first century, their testimony was not accepted as trustworthy in the court of law. And yet, that's who Jesus sends, or God sends, angels to announce Jesus' birth. Huh. Isn't that something? This is something I find pretty common, is that God will often appear or go to and work through those people who know they're messed up, as opposed to those who think they've got it all together. So I just, my first encouragement as we kind of approach God is to understand and own the fact that we are in need of a Savior. If we as a church body or as individuals come before God thinking, man, I'm so glad I'm not like those boys over at that camp right now, we've missed the whole point. And God's got a better chance of working with them than He ever does in my own heart. We need to approach and understand that we are just as desperate for the gospel. Because God literally ignored the high priest. He ignored the religious left and the religious right of that day. By the way, there were religious left and right of that day too. The Sadducees were the left and the Pharisees were the right. And yet, God chooses these men. And Scripture tells us that as the glory of the Lord shone around them, they were filled with fear, my translation. Another one says they were terrified. Another translation, King James, says they were sore afraid. Fear is a natural reaction whenever you see the glory of God. Remember, who was the beloved disciple? John. Beloved disciple. And yet, in Revelation chapter 1, when John sees Jesus in His glory, what does he write? I fell at His feet as though dead. Wow. I read that testimony and then I hear these people who are going to run to the Savior's arms. Well, I believe I will, but I have a feeling I'm going to be more like John when I see Jesus exposed in His glory. Will feel the weight of my own sin. That's where the shepherds are. They just see the glory of the Lord shining around this angel, and they are terrified. I grew up in the church. I rebelled from it, but I grew up in the church. And then as a pastor, I've seen all of the Christmas pageants where we have the little guys come out as angels, and they talk like this because they can't really say the words. As they try to say them. And it's so cute. And it ain't having anything to do with reality though. Understand that the angel making this proclamation is not a wee little tyke. He is a full-born general in the army. He's a warrior. And exposed by God's glory, he is a giant. Not to mention, God's glory is shining around him. How do we approach God's throne? I mean, my first thought as I'm reading this is, how do I approach God's throne simply when I'm entering into prayer? Does the weight of His glory impact me? Shepherds were undone. And yet the angel of the Lord in verse 10 says to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." In a what? Get this. Here's this warrior proclaiming, and he's bringing good news. By the way, literally that's gospel. Good news. Gospel means good news. Of great joy. And I can imagine now that these guys are looking up, listening. They've gone from this fear to this guy saying, "Fear not, I bring you good news." And we're getting excited. The city of David, a Savior, the Messiah. What? In a manger? It would have been normal for a child to be in swaddling clothes. But I have the general in the Lord's army telling me to go find him in a feeding trough? That almost doesn't make sense. And I have to wonder what was going through the shepherd's mind as they heard this. And suddenly there was there with the angel, verse 13, there was a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." The contrast between the angelic glory and the message that a humble babe must have seemed extreme to these shepherds. But this is truth about God. God loves to put His glory in unlikely passages so His glory is more clearly displayed. After all, didn't Paul write in 2 Corinthians chapter 4? "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this power is from God and not from us." God consistently does this. He wants to display His glory. The shepherds have gone from this fear to hearing this news to joy. And it brings us to their second response, which is verses 15 and 16. Their second response is this. Look at the text with me. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Sometimes, translating, we lose some things because there's not a one-to-one word choice. But in Greek, the emphasis is almost like that little boy shaking. What it's saying is that the shepherds kept saying over and over and over again to each other, "Let us go now! Let us go now! Let us go now! Let us go now!" It's almost like each shepherd couldn't contain or hear what the other shepherds had to say. And so they all were repeating each other, "Let us go now!" The haste is there, and they're gone. I don't know if they left anybody in charge of those sheep, or they just said, these things are not to compare with what God has done. But they're gone. And they're in Bethlehem. Knowing their reputation, I had to wonder if anybody saw them going through town. Uh-oh. There they go. The reaction is one of searching and seeking, though. This is what God does to us, I think. When He reveals Himself and our sin is made known, revealed to us, and we stand before a righteous God, crushed, only to hear that He loves us, I think what I've observed over and over and over again, when people have hit that point, the reaction is to seek it out. Is this true? Could He possibly, in spite of me, love me? So the shepherds hustle down because they want to find out, is this really true? And they're seeking the truth for themselves. Verse 16, "And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger." A healthy reaction. A healthy reaction for us would be to when we hear the news, do we seek out God's Word? Is this true? What were the Bereans commended for? They would hear the message that Paul was given, and they would go back and seek through Scripture, is this true? I loved it this morning. I won't tell you who, but you probably heard us talking. One of you came up and said, "You know, I've read the Psalms my entire life, but I just thought they were nice songs. But now I'm going through them and I'm seeing Jesus through them. All over the place. He's there." David is a prophet. And so throughout the Psalms that he writes, you'll see a prophecy towards Jesus. Do we seek? Now, the third reaction, and we're going to have a quick message today, but that's okay. The third reaction from the response from the shepherds are to come in verses 17 through 19. Let's look at those. And when they saw it, they made known, saying that... And when they saw it, they made known the saying that they had been told them, saying what that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. The third reaction is to share the news. That's what the shepherds did. Did you notice? At this point, as they're sharing the news, they're really not concerned with whether or not people believe them. The text says, and people wondered, or another translation said, the people were amazed. Now, to be amazed at something does not mean that you believe it. It only means, wow, that's interesting. Oh, I can't believe that. Whoa! Hello? This is news? And I think this is what, as they're running through, the same people who are going, oh, here comes the shepherds, now are hearing what the shepherds are saying, and they're like, really? About the kid in the feeding trough? But Mary heard it with her heart, pondered it. Listen. The shepherds, as they shared, didn't care. And for us, really, it doesn't matter whether people receive it with their heart. The issue is we get the opportunity to share what God's doing. We leave the response to other people in God's hands. He's the one who brings it out. But still, what a privilege. Spurgeon said this: good news is not to be kept inside ourselves. We have ascertained its truth, which is what the shepherds did. When we've ascertained its truth, we are to tell it to others, and we are especially to tell the goodness of salvation. He writes, tell it, O ye who know it, in your own hearts by blessed experience. Tell it, though it sometimes will be with broken accents in the fullness of your own flesh, yet even still, tell it. And the Lord will bless your testimonies, and others will learn the good news through you. As I was talking with some of the leaders in the group, and they were expressing just some frustration, I just wanted to pause and remind them that your job is to tell the good news. Your job is to love those. And then I just got a chance to share my testimony that others had loved me even though I was unlovable in high school. And those seeds were planted. It wasn't until I was out of high school and I was 19 years old before I responded. Who knows when some of these people may have responded. The shepherds were obedient. We're called to be obedient because God has brought the good news to us. He's filled us with joy. And perhaps one of the great prayers we could pray is, Lord, pour your joy into us so much that we can't contain it, that it literally vibrates out of our spirits. And though we're broken, though in our accents don't match, those people who are eloquent though our lives are not perfected yet, may it so vibrate out of us that we can't contain it and help but share it. Studies also a little bit of in contrast. Imagine the contrast of the angel choir and that full glory, mighty soldiers. I mean, that's really what it is. It's a military choir sung with power. And then these shepherds who come down to the town to share. God's power, and then it's passed on humbly. Did you ever, if you're ever like me, and sometimes you contemplate God's glory, you're overwhelmed with it, and then you want to go and run and share it, but then you think, oh, but my words are just so wordy. Humble. Small. But that's how God intends to display His power. Not my eloquence. Not yours. Not our unbelievable ability to persuade. But simply the ability to be His. To share what He's done. And the crazy thing is, in our culture right now, everybody will give you 5 minutes to hear your story. Even if they're absolutely against the gospel. God's provided us with a great time. Share it as your story and not what they have to do. This is what God has done in my life. And allow God to take that and use it. The people were amazed, but Mary treasured up all these things. The fourth response, first response, was moving from fear to joy. The second response was searching, is this true? The third response was to share the news with others. The fourth response is simply worship. Turn and look at verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. The climax of the shepherds' response is worship. Now I push and I will continue to push this idea that we're called to share the good news. But I'm going to tell you, that is not the climax of our response. The climax of our response, much like the shepherds, will be simply to worship. Why? Let's go back to those angry young men over at camp. They have been given things their entire lives instead of their parents. They've been given excuses and explanations for why they, and even passes for whenever they've crossed the line. If they fail at school, for most of them, it's the teacher's fault and not their response or their responsibility. If they break something, here's where dad might step in and say, well, what is it going to take to make it go away? instead of Dad being there. It's not God's response. His response is simply, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And Christ came to be humbly laid in a feeding trough, to take up the lowest position, which was ours. And then to eventually be hung on a cross and take that death for us. The right response is worship. That is the most climactic response that we can have. Whether it's hymns, that's only part of worship. Prayer. But also reflection and thinking, pausing. This is the power of what a Sabbath should be. It should be stop. And think about what God has done. Thank Him. So the shepherds. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. This is the ultimate response to divine action. Again, these shepherds weren't all of a sudden cleaned up, I don't think. But I bet we're not told in Scripture, but I bet their life trajectory was altered. Mary and Joseph's response in 21 is this: at the end of 8 days, he was circumcised. He was called Jesus, a name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Mary and Joseph, their response to all of this is now obedience. And continue to follow. Mary and Joseph, by the way, I'm not going to get it all right. There's going to be times when they're going to get frustrated even at Jesus. But they, like the shepherds, are pursuing God in worship. For us, that's also our desire to be obedient to the Lord, to the Spirit. Again, not that we get it all right. It's going to be our response to love those who are unlovable over a camp. They're also our neighbors. It's going to be our response to those who are low. See, over at camp, besides those troublemakers, guess who else I have? Young Life calls it their Capernaum. It's all of the special needs children. 75 of them. And it's fun to watch those kids who are over there who are believers, because they're responding to a segment of society that our society has said doesn't matter. But those students that are over there, of the 400 who are believers, it's fun to watch them celebrate these special ones. And it's amazing to see I think it's worship. Part of it. How do we respond to the gospel? May it be knowing that we've moved from fear to joy. That we've sought, is this true? That we continually are sharing that good news and worshiping our King who's come right to us and met our need. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you, we thank you for your